Thank you for listening to the Hub Show podcast. Brought to you by Venue Media.
Trade show displays, step and repeat backdrops, pull up banner stands, table throws, all your large printing needs. ExpoNetUSA.com, 301-378-9363. Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Podcast. The Hub Show.
We do run the Hub Show. Jay Heiss, Chris Canfield, Charmin Gassette. How's it going, Charmin?
What are you doing?
I've been recording. Okay. I've been recording.
All right. Oh, yeah.
I always get confused when
it's all right. When you see a clock running down the mixer, we've been recording.
Yeah. Boy, he caught all of that.
This is why I don't.
I know what kind of nuggets he throws out there.
That's
so I
right.
Well,
yeah.
On your drops.
You like to say, shitting on your hospitality. Good stuff.
That's awesome.
This weekend, you were doing a movie, and now you're doing a voiceover work.
That's right.
Yeah, she did a work with Mark Burns.
Yeah.
Matt Burns.
Mm-hmm. I know.
We had him on the show at the Comic-Con. Remember them?
Interesting guy.
And we're going to be in their movie as well, Chris, on the 15th.
It's going to be a couple of caps.
Yeah.
Some caps.
I'm excited to see that. I think you guys are going to,
Well, I saw your pictures, Charming. You were a ghost, right?
Yes.
I'm assuming with the white dress?
Yep.
Yeah, all right.
Did you have any lines like,
I did. No, but I did try to sound spectery through my delivery. So.
Nice. Yeah.
Not like overly dramatic, but, you know,
with that
in mind.
But they're going to take your audio and mix it up a bit.
What were you?
I don't know how he's going to. I'm really interested to see how this turns out because he's going to use some green screening and all kinds of stuff. So
where were you when you were shooting that? You were in a basement.
A creepy basement in
an old
building. No, it's a school on Race Street in Martinsburg.
That they had permission to use, obviously.
And Matt knows the guy that runs the school. It's the school that rocks, and they just...
Panhandle School of Rock. We interviewed them last summer.
Yeah,
yeah, all right.
That's pretty
cool. That's awesome.
Yeah. So what were you the ghost of? Do you know any of your back history?
I'm just this character's long-lost love.
Okay.
He's had relationships afterwards, but I'm the one that stuck out and the one that got away, but I passed away.
And now you're back haunting him?
Not haunting him per se, but
get away from me.
But it's just a tale of it's kind of a romance slash horror slash paranormal story.
Gotcha.
It's pretty
cool. That's what they're known for, especially Matt Burns. He's into all that stuff, man.
And
did you have fun on the set? Was it a long day or how was it?
It wasn't too bad. It was.
Did you do 52 takes?
Uh-uh.
No.
You sweating down in that basement?
No.
Wasn't hot down in there? No.
Chris?
No, it was actually a very nice day. It was 75 degrees.
Oh, yeah. Me and Chris at the show up at the municipal baseball stadium in suits and ties, for God's sake.
Wear ties?
With federal agents and bullshit like that.
Are you Men in Black?
We're Men
Something
in Black.
Like that, yeah.
I'm excited to see that.
Because
I think that's going to be a hilarious dynamic.
I'm going to get that.
Yeah.
I want the little cricket gun. The little one from Men in Black,
the little bitty gun.
Jairus is working on a pen right now. Men in Black pen.
Is he?
Yeah, with a hacksmith.
Has he moved on from Aquaman?
No, but he's in. He just went to Canada.
That's right.
And they're doing that joint project.
Yeah. We'll have Jairus.
I'm excited to see, what. Maybe it just blinds you. Obviously, it can't. Obviously, it
can't
erase. Yeah, it can't wipe your memory. That would be cool if you could
figure
that out.
Crazy, just the people on the road while he's driving.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's dangerous.
Just car pileups,
ridiculous.
Yeah.
On his way back from Canada.
Yes.
International chaos.
Yeah.
Man.
Bright light, eh?
The man of mystery.
Well, hey, we have guests in the house.
We do.
And they are the Oculus Paranormal Team. You guys are the first paranormal team to come on the Hub Show. We talked about having some on. We found some. Charmin dug you guys up. And
I'm excited.
We have here Tannen Smith and Jordan Jones. Does the names get any simpler than that, man? Smith and Jones.
It's like Smith and Wesson.
Yeah, basically, man. Yeah. So
pulling out the big guns.
All right. Walk it back. Paranormal.
Yep. So
how'd you guys get started doing this?
So I was brought into the fold.
This is Jordan Jones talking.
Yes, Jordan Jones here. So I was introduced to the paranormal via funeral. Go figure, right?
Via a funeral?
Via a freaking funeral.
So somebody sat up out of the grave or something?
Yes. Shit's real, man. And I was invited along on this weird little adventure. If you will.
There was an adventure at the funeral.
There was an adventure after. But okay. It led to the adventure. And they brought me to this outing that they said, hey, you want to come on an investigation with us? And this was the mother of one of my friends at the funeral. And she said, yeah, you should come on and check this out. We're getting together, and we're checking out Storer College out of Harper's Ferry, the first African-American college in the United States. And they said, hey, let's meet up here at a said time and date and start investigating. So I didn't know what the hell was going on here.
Right.
And I decided to come out and check this out because I'm a big skeptic. And
right, like most people are.
Most people are. And when I went out there to meet up with them, there was a group of people I did not know from some guy on the street.
Yeah.
And we were testing different types of equipment that I've never seen before. And this is just, like I said, like going into a major
It's all
school.
New to you.
Yeah. This is like they just brought me in just, you know, out of the blue. And I didn't.
How big is this group?
About tenfold now, 10 people.
Okay.
So
All right. We
got a big enough group to handle any event, any case, but small enough where I'm not chasing people down, like having to make sure that people come to the events and things.
It's pretty organized, right?
It's pretty organized at the perfect level. So,
and you're the founder.
Now I'm one of the founders. So I'm co-founder of four people that started. Actually, this is the people that I met at this first little gathering in Harper's Ferry. And the crazy thing was, I saw some stuff that I couldn't even explain scientifically.
At this college?
At this Storer College. Okay. One of the co-founders who we like to call in the paranormal community a sensitive, he basically is like got abilities to like sense, like see, hear.
Being the co-founder, like he's a like captain of the team type of thing,
sort of kind.
And they call
it
what?
Like a co-founder or sensitive.
It's a sensitive.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we walked. We walked to this really dilapidated building. And
dilapidated.
It's a star word there. Write this one down.
It's a reoccurring word on this show.
All right. Write the second time, charming.
You got it.
It's a fun word. We can use it again.
She brought us a speak and spell over there. for a reason.
Gotcha. So the part of the team, we split off into two. One of us went to the park down in Harper's Ferry where the founder of the town had founded the grounds, and there were some of the graves out there, so on and so forth. And the rest of the team went up to this old, dilapidated house. See, I'm going to use it again. And it's had no roof on it. It was completely abandoned, but people had access to it. So
squatters.
You could have found some squatters and some homeless in there, but they didn't, fortunately. Unfortunately, there was some negative energy at this place.
And how do you detect that?
How do you detect that?
Yes.
They attack you.
They attack you.
Energetically?
Energetically speaking.
Something's shoving you can't see it type of thing?
This is exactly what happened. Okay, they went in there getting a...
Tell it a story here.
Tell a story here.
Tell a story.
I'm excited.
Put it out to the world, right? So one of the sensitives of his name is Tyler, and he's one of the co-founders. He was doing what's called a spirit box session. So we keep a recording. It's like recording video and audio of a radio station. It's cycling through the different radio stations. And the skipping of the radio stations, it cycles through them. And words and phrases respond to the questions we have. Now, me being a skeptic, I'm like, that's kind of bunk because it could just be, you know, people just saying things through the radio stations and not
A pre-recorded or something.
Right. So I was like, wait, what the heck? But they were actually answering full-blown questions, even with the stops, like between the different radio stations, full phrases were being answered to the questions that they were asked through the different radio stations.
What kind of questions were being asked?
Like, what... that's the
what's
big...
Your, what's your favorite
that's
color?
That's the big inquiry, right?
What's your favorite color?
What's your favorite color? So they were asking, like, how did you pass? And so a couple of the family members... Yeah, it's a pretty dark question, so... a couple of the family members, there was a father, mother, and apparently a daughter, and they were asking, you know, what, who resides here right now, who's speaking among us, and they would answer, like, you know, it's me, you know, it would say, like, you know, my daughter, my wife, and you would hear that come through the radio station.
People, so unplanned, like, you know,
completely
or whatever, right.
And so that, like, even then I was like, okay, that's weird, I mean, like, it's just coincidence. People start chalking up coincidences just to be coincidences. What happened was is that the moon was out in full. The whole room went completely black and dark. So there was no clouds in the sky. The moon was out. It was a full moon out.
Right.
And all of a sudden, they got weird, just very weird energy, weird feeling being in that room. And when they... got that feeling, they're like, one of the sensitives was like, hey Tyler, we need to amscray, we need to get out of here, something's not right, because it shouldn't be completely dark. It was completely lit up, the whole house was lit up because of the moonshine
in the roof.
The moonshine.
That's what it was, dude.
That's what made it go dark.
It was lit
that's
up in there.
That's what's doing the talking.
Someone blacked out in the story, apparently.
Yeah.
But he started walking out of the thoroughfare of the house, and all of a sudden he got jabbed in the shoulder real hard. What he felt like was like someone like prodded him, like someone took two fingers and just jabbed him right in the shoulder blade. And he was like, he's kind of like responded to it, and he was recording this while this was happening. He got a, what's called EVP's recording audio.
What does that stand for?
Electronic voice phenomenon.
Okay.
So we pick that up in all of our investigations. So he's walking back to us, and he keeps on getting pushed and prodded. Like, he just keeps on getting shoved, and other members, like three other people are with him. He's getting shoved, like someone's picking on him, like a bully. And... he starts coming down to us, and we're all finishing up, you know, investigating the park, which was pretty cool. Like I said, we picked up some activity, but we saw him coming towards us, and all of a sudden we see this red ring. Like, he starts getting closer, and he's like stumbling. He's like kind of not walking too right, and he was completely okay, fine when he went up. And all of a sudden he starts choking and gagging. Is almost like he can't breathe, like something's like choking him. And we get closer to him, we shine a light on him, and he's got a red ring completely around the entirety of his neck and back of his neck around his throat.
As if somebody's choking him.
Like someone's choking him. And we have to sit him down. We're like, okay, Tyler's like having an anaphylactic shock or something. Like, he's like, I asked Tyler, are you allergic to anything, man? I didn't know.
Peanuts around here?
Someone rubbing peanut gel or peanut juice on you?
Peanut gel?
That would be butter, dude.
Butter, cocoa butter? you know the subject
peanut
better than
butter, but butter, peanut gel. Peanut.
Yeah, right.
Peanut gel yeah, or jelly is sandwich.
Is it crunchy?
My thing is paranormal, not gels or peanuts.
I got you. That's all good.
I'm not good with... I'm no chef here.
I'm no chef. So,
I'm not good with food.
So he sits down, and we... my first reaction is like, okay, this is something out of The Damn Exorcist. Like, you know, somebody, is he getting attachment or something? Or some kind of weirdness? And so we all lay hands on him, start reading the scripture off. People actually broke out a holy water bottle, and I was like, what? Is this real?
Wow.
And did you feel like you were being punked?
Conversation.
I was, yeah, where right? are you? Like,
Where do you get your hands on holy water?
Wait, time out. So, listen.
You actually can go to any...
When OPT, when you guys go on a mission like this, you bring certain tools with you.
Yes.
Obviously, electronic voice
phenomenon
yeah. stuff.
Yeah, record.
But you also bring holy water and Bibles.
Do you say the power of Christ compels you? Do you... No.
Not but you said you were reading scripture. So you bring a Bible, you bring holy water, you come equipped with a couple of things there.
A couple of things, yeah.
Some things there.
We come
devices.
With, so every investigation is something different. Not everything is Christian lore. Gotcha. Like some things.
That's what I was going to ask. Like, what if you're not, a Christian?
Some people
bring
are
the Quran or the.
Yeah, some people have different religious bases. Some people are. Definitely a pagan background. They do a bunch of rituals in their house. They spring something up that they don't even know what they're working
on. You saying
with.
They, members of your team?
No, just in general.
In general?
The clients that we work
okay,
with.
Okay, so you went to this place in Harper's Ferry and someone had the Bible to read scriptures from and it had some holy water.
Yeah.
They came equipped with these things, right?
Yeah, and I didn't pack heat.
Got you.
Yes, that's right.
Pull out your twin Bibles. Twin Bibles. Not just one, but two.
Super soaker full of holy water.
It's about to be a revelation up in this.
Water fight.
So we all laid hands on them, doused them with holy water, started reading scripture, and about 20 to 30 minutes later, I'd say, that red ring starts disappearing around his neck. We see it actually physically start
disappearing
and going back to his normal skin color. Mm. And I asked, I asked Tyler, like, and be Mr. Skeptic, like, what happened? Like, did you have anaphylactic shock? Are you allergic to something? He's like, no, I've been tested. I've never been allergic. I'm like,
allergic
okay.
To ghosts.
I'm allergic to ghosts. Evidently, right? And I asked him, did you walk into like some particles in the dilapidated building? Like it was, some things floating around.
Spider webs.
Something got stung by something. And he said, no, there was nothing up there. The place was completely open and you could breathe free.
I mean, was he freaked out? Was he scared?
Oh yeah, he was.
Or was this
Jordan? This is your first time.
This is
the
very first time.
This is off the heels of, how was the funeral?
How was his funeral? the one before or after? Well, he didn't eventually die.
But you went from the funeral to this, but being a skeptic is your first time with this group of people.
Yeah.
Are you freaked out?
Yes.
Now, was this a before and after day in your life? Some of those days you're just like, what the fuck?
What did I?
You just, yeah.
What did I drink the night?
What did I do? What did I say? Who did I piss off?
This was, I have never been a spiritual person either.
Gotcha.
I've been raised Methodist, and I knew about some scriptures in the Bible. And
but it doesn't like you like me.
Very,
really stick
very
with
lukewarm.
Me, right.
Very lukewarm. Yeah. And then this was kind of almost a spiritual awakening, in more ways than one, of course.
Right.
Pun intended. But the thing that attacked him, I wanted to figure out how that could actually attack him.
Did you figure it out?
We haven't figured it out yet.
How long ago was this?
This was 2016.
Okay, so it's only been 3 years you've been involved with it.
We've been involved in it. We didn't realize why certain energies, certain spirits attach to people because of what they do.
How old is Oculus Paranormal Team? How old is the group as a whole?
It's just actually 2016.
So you came in when it just started.
To just captivate you, and you were just like, oh, my
God.
Let's see what they're talking about.
Let me go check it out myself.
Yeah.
It was actually a combination of I was the logistics and the researcher. I was... Like I said, one of the skeptics, I don't have any sensitive abilities whatsoever. And
Three years later, do you have any sensitive abilities now?
I've been picking up some stuff.
Have you?
Well, there's actually some situations where I've seen full body apparitions. And
really?
Yeah, actually, the Hager House over here in Hagerstown.
There you go.
So I kind of like feel like, and maybe, I don't know if
the
this is
house?
Like a...
I thought you were talking about the engine.
Do you think that, like, people are, like, everybody's just born with that, and then we just kind of lose that?
I think
some people are definitely born more in tune with different frequencies
so like
of things.
Like she's saying, being a skeptic 3 years ago, and now obviously you're not, you've seen some stuff that makes you believe, right?
Correct.
So, I mean, what do you think it is?
What do I think?
What do you think is going on? Like, your friend being pushed and... prodded by something, right? In that room. I mean,
why would it be mad at you?
Or him? Why not come after all of you? Knock your heads together.
I personally think that
he
was.
Why are ghosts always so angry?
Certain people that have sensitive abilities are kind of like beacons. I personally think that
they're
just
like an open vortex.
They're like basically like come like that's why we have a medium actually on the team, and she says. Close yourself off when you can, and then open up when you want to sense things, and then close yourself off. Because, like, you're basically, you're opening yourself up to forces that you don't understand. Just keep yourself, like, grounded, if The yeah. word is the word is grounded, and right. you don't want to open yourself up too much in what Tyler unfortunately did.
And
to
open
first
up your third eye.
Right. Yeah. yeah, exactly.
Get to that little gland in the middle.
Cyclops.
Yeah. What is that called?
Pineal gland.
That's it. Pineal gland. You gotta squeeze the pineal gland.
Light.
Yeah. That's how you pick up on all this
visualize
stuff.
Yourself so in all white light.
Yeah, I know, right? I knew of the gland. I couldn't remember the name. I know. Yeah.
And it sounds crazy. I mean, I'll admit.
No. I'm a skeptic, but I have a part of me that is reserved for the what if. You know what I mean?
Okay.
So, I mean, I listen to it with open mind.
Yeah, but I walked in, like I said, completely right. skeptical, and the things that I've seen some of my teammates do and experience, and I've actually seen eventually, like when you're around certain types of people too, like their energies, I've read about that with people.
Yeah, different people, different energies.
It pulls energy. If you're investigating with one team, it's going to be a different experience than investigating with another team. So each team is completely different in what they pick.
How busy is OPT?
How busy are you? Well,
I mean,
do you guys get like house calls and like people are like, can you cleanse my house?
What is the deal?
Tannen, you can answer.
Yeah, I was going to ask. Let's hear why Tannen got interested in this and like his.
I will, but I'll come back to you. Hang a second. If someone comes to you, Tannen, and wants the elevator pitch, what does Oculus Paranormal Team do? Evan wants to hear the Ghostbusters version of it, but what do you say? You know, what do you tell people in a nutshell?
Honestly, recently I actually got approached by a woman who says that she has she describes it as a shadow person in her home.
Mm-hmm.
She had her husband with her who, he was like the last one to see it and believe in it. The kids, this has been going on for years. Their children have been, you know, this thing gives them nightmares, knocks things over. They sage cleanse anytime something happens, but they have finally decided they want to bring a paranormal team into their home to investigate it. So she brought it up, and I gave her our, you know, credentials, you know, their card and everything, and contact information. But basically, you know, you assure on a private investigation that everything's going to be kept confidential. I mean, she's not expecting us to go in with, you know, plasma packs and a freaking, you know,
right.
Sucker box. But I mean, if somebody comes up to you and they're just like, okay, well, what is that? What are you guys all about? Well, right, what do you say? Like, you have to give like a short little, you know,
that's a professional response.
Oh, professional, yeah. Incredible.
People wait for you guys to sound like a bunch of, you know.
Oh yeah, a bunch of guys, but like,
look, the ghosts.
Basically, like, you know, like, for anybody, because not everybody wants their house cleansed. They just want to know,
for anybody who wants to know what you're about.
Yeah.
What are you about? That's what we're asking. You know, to answer
questions.
You actually cleanse the house?
Upon request.
Upon request.
What does that mean?
Do you guys use Palo Santo and sage or?
That would be Jordan's department.
switching mics. Okay.
I'm more of a tech geek over here.
No.
Then we need to hear how Tannen got into this.
So when people ask us, is there anything you can do to help us? Like, you know, it's hard. It's a hard question to bridge because obviously people think they're crazy when they talk about, you know, spirits haunting their house and shadows.
And of course, if someone comes to you like that, they got to check off a few boxes that makes you guys actually want to go proceed with the procedure, right?
So we test. We ask them the real tough questions.
Right.
We ask them, have you been drinking or using any drugs? Have you do you have any mental issues in the family? Like, that's tough questions. No one wants to tell you that personally if you just met them.
But, I mean, if somebody has a history of schizophrenia, you're going to question.
Right. So you have to ask them that. And they say, well, you know, I got to ask these questions because I'm not going to be able to help you at my full potential if I don't know these things.
Right.
Because
I'm
not going to know.
Honest answers. Yeah.
I can't give you honest answers if I don't have the honesty from you. So, you know, give me as much honesty as you can. And like I said, that's what I'm going to be able to work with, you know, back at you. So.
And how do you bid out something like this?
So,
like, what's the invoice?
Chris, what is in a different way now. Jesus,
you just doing that, are you doing this hourly?
You come out and say, you know, I've already paranormal team out with two other companies.
So let me give you the heads up on this. And this is any paranormal team
package deals.
Paranormal team should not charge.
They do not charge.
I guess that does give it a negative energy.
Because if it's based on this is like a more of a spiritual cleansing and also helping people with their issues in their home. Like, it's not something that we financially benefit off of, because if we're holding this dollar over them as they're freaking out because
it's going to make things worse.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're not the organ man either. We're not going
exterminating.
So you guys are doing that out of an honest personal interest and love,
correct,
for doing this stuff. I mean, it's very intriguing, even if you're skeptical. There's always that, like I said, that part of your mind is reserved for the what if.
But through all your vetting and everything that you do with these clients, have you come across a situation where it was like you really just came to the conclusion that it was probably somebody's mental instability, or have you run across that?
Call in a 5150 on anything.
5150. Baker Act that person.
Well, it was actually one of our then teammates at the time. Her brother was having some questionable issues, and he was getting like scratches on his back, and you know, like everyone was going straight to the demonic, which we don't use that word at all.
Right.
No. We basically say like
exercise
the demons.
Well, before we go into exorcism, everyone jumps to exorcism. Well, first I want to get Tannen's
story,
but then I want to jump into a famous case, and I think this is what we're all talking about. But Tannen, how do you get into this, man?
Well,
did you drag him from the funeral? Is that what it was?
Yeah.
Come on, man.
You guys were
a couple beers.
Tannen was the one strangling the man.
As far as on a personal level, really, in my late teens and early 20s, I was going to different sites with like a recorder and different friends, and we were just going to, you know, especially around here, you always hear these ghost stories about different locations. So, you know, when you're...
There's old history here.
Yeah, it's Hagerstown, Maryland.
Yeah,
we got Burkittsville down there.
Well, let's lay it down for people who are listening up from around here. We've done it a million times. We'll do it again. We're in Hagerstown, Maryland. A lot of Civil War history around here. The Underground Railroad's around here. Antietam Battlefield.
Mason-Dixon Line.
And like you said, Burkittsville is where the Blair Witch Project supposedly took, you know.
And also, at one point, too, this area was the frontier. You know, this wasn't, like, you know, like where the Hegger House is and everything in town. That was the frontier at one point.
Yeah.
You know, there was nothing beyond that.
Beyond Hagerstown, yes.
And you use you have an interest in history as well.
Very much so, especially local history.
It definitely helps.
So that intrigued me as well. But, yeah, like, it was really just a hobby, especially in my early 20s. I'd always wanted to be part of a paranormal team, but I had never really heard of any around here. And the ones I did hear about, I was just kind of like, I never really took the time to go out of my way and meet them. And then I happened to be, I used to kind of volunteer every now and again at the Hegger House.
Mm-hmm.
And one year I was down there visiting, I'm personal friends with the caretaker, and she's just like, hey, we have a paranormal team that's down here this year in conjunction with our tours, and that's actually how I met Jordan.
Right.
I want to say, like, that night we kind of did the short interview process.
At the Harper's Ferry.
No, at Hegger House.
Oh, the Hegger House.
Yeah, this is like
a different scenario.
Okay.
This is a year later.
Yeah.
2017.
And ever since then, though, I've been part of the team, introduced to equipment that I never used. My main weapon of choice back when I was doing it as a hobby was a voice recorder.
Right.
And I have picked up some very, very awesome things on said voice recorders. Children's voices and stuff. There's an old graveyard around here that used to investigate quite often.
Which one?
It's people call it Miller's Church, but it's not called Miller's Church.
Yeah.
It's Jacob's Evangelical Lutheran Church.
I've heard of that. I've heard of people who do this, and I've heard of people, like paranormal teams, who have left recorders in, like, am I pronouncing it right, Charmin? Mausoleums?
Mausoleums.
I've heard it pronounced several different ways.
Back in the Mussolini's.
I've heard them that they leave those in there, and they let it record, and they leave. And when they come back to retrieve it, and they play it back, some bizarre stuff, man.
Oh yeah. You know? But it really interested me with all the different kinds of equipment that they've used, and I myself am a skeptic, and especially with the recorder, like sometimes like it's like I like to go back to wherever that was, and creak a door or step on a floorboard or something just to make
sure,
if you know, to deduce it down.
Right.
But that is what essentially got me started, and it was like a, just a personal kind of a fun hobby, and then, you know, finally got part of a team, and now I'm in it for the, you know, the real deal, and really, really enjoying it. You know, it's always an exciting experience going to a site and, right, you know, setting up and just.
Well, you said that business is about to pick up. Is that because it's the fall?
Fall is in the air.
Fall is in the air.
But last year, so you guys are doing the same thing again this year.
Yeah. Paranormal season?
Yeah, right.
It is.
Does the weather affect these things?
Because of Halloween?
Hallows Eve was a pagan holiday that, you know, they used
but
for...
But honestly, is fall the busiest time of the year for you? Or?
It is for us as far as the public events that we run.
Right.
It makes sense.
What's one of your public events?
An example.
I went to the one last year, and it was really fun.
What was it?
It's the same thing we're doing this year. It's in conjunction with the Hager House Tours at the Hagerstown City Park.
Right.
Basically, the Hub City Railroad Museum.
Yeah.
Last year they gave us those grounds. It's open to the public. You have to sign. You have to sign up beforehand via the website.
Oh, and actually now you can come to the gate and basically.
Oh, cool. We've upgraded.
You can pay to get in.
But yeah, basically, you know, you come down there. There's the pavilion down there. There's also the old steam engine. Engine 202, I believe?
Yes.
When you said 202, I was just like, oh, I had an experience at 202.
Oh.
You know, you come down, you sign up, you know, we introduce you to the equipment, kind of give you a little bit of a lecture, and then we let you go out and sort of investigate those grounds. The interesting thing about the location of that museum is it's right beside that baaball field.
Right.
Train tracks, you know, of course, go right through there. There is an old photo, it's a very rare photo, but down there in that section of the park, at one point during the Civil War, it was stocked with tons of coffins and bodies. Basically, that was a hub.
That was the depot for the bodies, huh?
Well, especially from the Antietam, Battle of Antietam.
Oh, yeah.
Bring out your dad.
Pretty much. You know, if they could put you in a pine box and have you there, they would stack you. Now, if they couldn't find your home, you were going to sit there for a while.
Right, until they figured out who you were or where to put you.
Area and the smell of it was also terrible.
I can imagine.
So with that and that much despair and just death,
the energy left behind, is that what it is?
A lot of energy down there.
Leaking into the groundwater.
Right. That's what's wrong with this town.
Yeah.
Well, you know, interestingly enough, too, the houses that are right across the street from the city park, my aunt owned one of those houses. Mm. And, you know, the wicker kind of wood structure that's along the bottom of the porches.
Yes.
Well, those were there because they would store bodies underneath the porches, and it would kind of preserve them to keep them. Well, my aunt lived there my entire life, and we would play under there all the time. So then when I was informed by that by a historian, I was just like, oh, whoa, great, I've been
rolling around
in there for a long time.
Stewing in cadavers.
But yeah,
stewing in cadavers.
You thought the dog buried that.
He won't go in there. He doesn't go near there.
But the event is open to the public. After the short lecture, you know, we do give you the equipment and ask you to, you know, we take you around. You can go out to the grounds, and out towards the baseball field. They usually open up the cruises, so you can get up in there. And also, the engine, of course, is open for you to have.
Right.
And let me give him the dates, too, because it's October 11th, 19th, and 25th. So those are the 3 dates that we've done.
Times?
That's 8 to 10.
So this is when you're doing your public event downtown in Hagerstown.
City Park.
City Park is in Hagerstown. And, of course, it's October. It's Halloween time frame. But you guys still, obviously, are busy. You've been busy this summer and the spring.
You guys do stuff in Gettysburg.
Yes.
Yeah, right.
So we do all sorts of things for clients as well as personal investigations. So when we're not doing Publix, because Publix is just to earn a little bit of money into what we call our kitty.
Yeah,
like, basically, it's like to travel, get a new equipment, you know, so on and so forth, pay for hotels, so on and so forth. So the personal investigations are just investigations of interest. Like, we go to places in, like, Ellicott City.
Really?
Which Ellicott City is just teaming with.
Oh, this. Baltimore. So the whole area is teeming with it, right?
Yeah. And so we've got places around there. We got West Virginia. We got a place called Middleway, West Virginia, which is just right outside of Charlestown. And that's a town that was long forgotten because they decided not to build the railroad through there. Mm-hmm. And it went through Charlestown instead. So that town died.
Just kind of forgotten about.
Forgotten town in West Virginia. Right. And that place has got a lot of old, dilapidated.
Is it like a coal mining town?
Lost City, West Virginia.
It's not a coal mining town, but
actually
it's
actually is a place.
But
it got neglected when they didn't put the railroad through it. Yeah. Just got forgotten about, huh?
So they basically had like a couple like war hospitals there, like a factory. I think it was like a steel factory back there. Right. And that was pretty much it. And that eventually people just moved out.
This is like what you just do for fun.
We don't go to bars or clubs.
Is it safe to say?
Guys, let's go bowling this weekend.
Let me ask you.
Never get that in a group text.
We go do karaoke quite a bit. So.
There you go.
So.
They have their own bowling team. Can you imagine that? Yeah. OPT.
Yeah. You down with OPT?
Yeah,
you know me. It's like Jesus from the Big Lebowski. It's like
there you go.
Waxing anagram ball.
It should be, man.
Oh my god.
Well, actually, awesome. Though, obviously, this area, as we describe where we are and what it's all about, a lot of history here, which is ripe for this kind of stuff.
Right.
What's the furthest away from here you guys have gone?
I've gone to New Orleans.
Really?
That's a good place.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. You've been to New Orleans to do this stuff?
I did a little bit.
Like a client asked you to come down there?
No, I was doing surveying down there for potential spots down in New Orleans. So that was the initial, initial spotting or investigating. That's personal. That's personal investigations. Clients, we call them private investigations.
That's a vacation for you.
That's a vacation.
Okay.
That's a great place to vacation. Yeah, it's that.
Do you guys have a van?
We've been talking about doing a Scooby-Doo episode forever. Like, we should combine Chris Johnson and OPT and us and a van.
We have a good friend. A good friend of the Hub Show. He's been here on the podcast and on a TV show. Christopher Johnson. Christopher, say what?
Say what?
He has Say What Exploration. He does all that urban exploration stuff, and he goes from the abandoned places and whatnot. Just recently, he was over in Baltimore. Have these abandoned mansions. He goes into the windows and whatnot.
He's about like Baltimore County more area.
Yeah, he's all over the place. He's over here in Martinsburg going into abandoned factories and whatnot.
Where won't he go?
You guys,
he's just prowling.
He's kicking in windows and whatnot.
It's like,
got a YouTube channel.
Good old fashioned vandalism.
I'm just saying,
right?
You guys, you never know.
It would be
75,000.
He doesn't do the breaking.
One of here, you know.
No, he does. He does say that if it is already open, then he goes in.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
And there's no signs, right? That's
No.
He also said he takes wood boards off the window, so.
Middleway, West Virginia.
He's going to get in one way or the other.
Right.
It was loose.
What are you going to do?
Yeah.
Termites.
I didn't know my own strength.
You just flipped it.
I just leaned on it. It fell off.
I want to say the farthest, though, going back to your question, is the furthest we've been away as a group. I'd say it would be Clinton Road, New Jersey.
That's the most...
New Jersey?
So yeah. Clinton Road is the most haunted, supposedly the most haunted road in America.
Haunted road?
I think how long of a road is it?
I-81?
Yeah.
How long of a road is it?
Accidents and ridiculous...
Well, as far as being busy, yes.
What do you mean a haunted road?
So this has got
a stretch of road that's really...
It's got a lot of energy in it.
Like Christine... type stuff. You got cars chasing you or something.
It was even like the way there was a hitman, popular hitman that got caught like, on the Iceman. He was kind of basically in Dexter. They based the ice off of him. And he would actually deep freeze the bodies and then chop them up. And
When is this? What time frame? When years is this?
He was in the 60s
and 70s?
Yeah. He was in northern New Jersey.
And he was dumping them along this particular
road. But like,
yeah, that's how they caught him, and you know, he only admitted to the one body that they found there, but, you know, it's determined that
Clinton Road, New Jersey? What part of New Jersey?
West Milford.
West Milford? Yeah, so you guys went there.
And we went up there.
How was the vibe?
It was spooky as all hell.
Was it really?
So you're going up and down a 10-mile stretch of road where there's no one there. There's pockets that you can drive off. That's like there's no trespassing, of course.
Right.
And we respect the law. We try to we're not going to be mannering around
trespassing.
Because we get arrested and then we get a reputation for being the team that got arrested.
But do you? Do you guys
Stick your toe in the water.
Is this off the record or on the record?
You don't make records, pal. It's all digital. Right.
But
all eight track, pal.
We went to this place called the Dead Man's Curve. It's one of the locations.
Oh, which they wrote the song about?
The oldie song?
Dead Man's Curve.
Dead Man's Curve.
I bet Tannen and Jordan were singing it the whole time they're walking down the road. Dead Man's Curve.
Tannen, did you hear that?
He's singing along with us.
So we went up, me and the co-founder Tyler went up to the, and this guy just picks up energy like no one's business. We walked up to this bridge. This is where you, the lore. The lore is, there's always something from lore. Like, you know, like you flip a coin into a river and something throws something, you know, like stuff like
that's
that.
That's the lore of that place?
The lore of that place. There was a kid that apparently got run over by a car when he was playing, you know, out on this road near the bridge. And so he got hit and his dog was with him.
Right.
And so someone said that he just drove off and someone found this kid's body lying next to the bridge. And his dog was sitting with him, and the cop that got called to the bridge basically went down and tried to investigate, see what happened. And the dog kept on barking and barking and barking, and the cop shot the dog. The dog, so both the boy and the dog's spirits were supposedly, you know, down in this river. So
sad.
What does a dog spirit do to you? If a human just prods you and pokes you, imagine what a dog.
How do you find these lores?
What's that?
How do you find these lores?
Well, there's a website that's actually Darklands or Badlands. I can't remember the website.
Badlands is a movie.
But this website that we look at, it's just basically stories,
right?
And we go and check to see. Sometimes stories spawn from.
You ever go around and interview locals?
Yes.
We did even down there, like
Boonesboro, Maryland. We actually were scouting for Ghost of Shepherdstown. If you ever heard of that
I heard
TV.
Of it. Wait, back up before you come back to Maryland.
Yeah.
Did you ask around in Clinton Road?
Yeah, I mean, even like, we went to a Dunkin' Donuts just to stop. There was this kid working there.
He has some stories to tell you, huh?
And I was just like, so what do you know about Clinton Road, man? He's like, I grew up around here. What do you want to know about it?
Wow.
You know? He did point out to me, he's just like, if you guys are a paranormal team going down there, there are some locals that fuck with you, by the way. And there were. We had people driving by and yelling at us every now and again.
Yeah, exactly.
Because you guys aren't the only paranormal team to go up there, obviously.
Oh, obviously.
They see this a lot.
Yeah, it's popular.
People throwing my buddy dolls at you.
Have you guys been messed with, so to speak? Have you had people approach you and be like, get the hell out of here, you know what I mean?
We weren't approached up there, and I don't think we've...
Not really?
I've never recalled.
No one's messed with you guys and said, hey, you know, get out of here, you guys are full of shit, you know what I mean?
People would stop their cars on the road and be looking at us, like peering, like.
Oh, there was that woman that drove by the show. Yeah. She just started driving by and yelling at us, "Bitch, I love you." No idea what that
they
was.
They were looking
about.
For the
some really good energy around here. Right?
That's a positive vibe.
Looking for that reflection in the tinfoil hat.
Oh my goodness!
So that Dead Man's Curve, though, we started walking back after doing what's. Ghost Meter Pro, we basically communicate. It's got, it flicks like this little dial.
Uh-huh.
And essentially, enough energy, electromagnetic energy, like spikes it. It basically, we do ask it like, flick once for yes, twice for no. So that's like a yes or no binary question. So, like, you know, are you a little boy on this property? And it flicks twice for yes. And I say, do it again. Could you answer it once for yes, twice for no? And it's basically flicked once. So I kept on asking the same questions over and over, and it kept on responding, of course. So we start walking back from this after asking numerous questions of this thing, and my Ghost Meter Pro was still on, and it was still following it after trying to answer questions. And Tyler was like, hey, Jordan, you should probably turn that off. We're heading back to the car. You don't want to attach the equipment to the car. Like, yeah, that's probably a good idea. I forgot about it. I was just kind of all excited. So turn the thing off, and as soon as I turn the thing off, I hear, this is on the concrete on the road.
Right.
Wow. And, like, I had a headlamp on.
Yeah.
And I looked down, and I did not see anything crossing that road, and you could hear it basically getting closer to the car. So we got in the car real quick. Got back to the hotel.
Yeah.
So that, those footsteps were pretty
loud. Let me ask you that.
Pretty loud.
How, I mean, obviously, even though you've been doing this for several years now, and you've been in different scenarios and situations, are you still freaked out when you hear that? Do you get freaked out as much as you did back in the day at Harper's Ferry, you know what I mean? Or are you getting used to it now?
I'm getting a little used to it, but, of course, you know, listening to it through EVP or watching video, it's kind of like you're looking through a lens.
Yeah.
If you're on site and you feel it or hear it or
see
anything.
Yeah, it's live or whatever, right.
When you see it live, you still get a little...
Something, the goosebumps, right?
You get a little goosebumps, but you just kind of come back to yourself.
How about you, Tannen? Are you, how you handling all this?
Put
the alcohol down, buddy. As Jordan talks about it, yeah, I remember that.
There's definitely been situations where I've been freaked out, before and after during and after recordings that we were doing a private investigation. Jordan and I were together in a room. This is later when we were listening to the recording, and we have a what is that called? Come on, help me. It's got the Kinect camera on it.
The SLS camera.
Thank you. It has an SLS, which is basically like a motion tracker. So he's looking through that and recording, and we picked up on our EVP a little girl, and I was so I'm talking to this little girl, and I'm familiar with this house that we're at. I mean, I'd slept there before renovation and after and during. This house was so kick ass. I can't disclose which house it is though. It's in Hagerstown though.
Kick ass as far as the energy and what you guys do?
Huh?
Kick ass, like, because of the energy?
It's a beautiful
inside?
House.
It's beautiful. A beautiful kick ass house. It's a very beautiful house. It was like.
You guys kick ass might be, yeah. This place is full of.
That's weird. That's weird
you
stuff.
Know those main houses that are on, like, developments where it was at one point in time the main house of a development?
The model home?
Before the farm was parceled out.
Yeah,
like
an original homes. Farmhouse like, slash mansion is what this
it was.
Was
the homestead.
Gotcha.
Anyway, though, he's tracking.
Manufactured house.
He's tracking this small object next to me. And he's just like, it's reaching out to your hand. And you know, it was a little girl over the EVP, too. Asking it questions, and I'm like, "Do you want to touch my hand?" And then you hear Jordan say, on the recorder, you're like, "And now it's running away, clear as day." And there's no kids in this house; it's just us, no children, no nothing. You hear a little girl giggle and footsteps scampering away from me. Now, did I audibly hear it that night? No. Was it audible? Very.
That's
audible
why you record it. So you can go back and listen.
Yeah. No, that was crazy. That freaked me out after I listened to it. The thing that has really most freaked me out ever was, and this is Engine 202, people, where we're doing our ghost stories. Last year, we were breaking down, and earlier in the day, too, somebody had said, what was it that had spotted the man in the white t-shirt in the middle of the day?
Was that Mike?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mike, who isn't a sensitive, he doesn't consider himself one, he was saying that he looked over towards the engine, and there was this guy in a white t-shirt, blue jeans, kind of your... I would be a fourth-generation railroader had I taken the job out of Hagerstown. And I didn't take the job. Turned down my father's offer. And anyway, though, like the way he described it, I was like, that's weird. My grandfather still dresses like that all the time, just plain white t-shirt, blue jeans.
Yeah.
And he said he had seen this man just standing around the engine and then just disappeared. Well, then later, we're breaking down, and me and one of the girls who is like a coordinator for Parks and Recreation, she came down to like, you know, hey guys, I'm going to be locking up, blah, blah, blah. I'm walking down with her towards the engine because, I have to get the recorders and crap like that off of it and wires. And both of her just hear this loud bang out of the engine. And she both made us jump, and she goes, well, glad I don't have to go up there. I'll see you later. So, yeah, fuck you, Emily. anyway, I go ahead and I'm getting on the train and I'm just like, whatever. That was just, it's getting colder. It's steel, just readjusting. And I go to, I get on the train. I'm kind of grabbing stuff, and out of nowhere, I get pushed really freaking hard, like from my back. Like, it's pushed so hard that it actually like jolts me forward. There's a lot of metal and stuff in there. Like, sure. You don't want to fall in there.
Right,
you can get hurt.
Yeah.
Of course, you hear me yell, what the fuck? And then I ran out of this engine because, like, and yeah, that's the scariest I've ever gotten, especially to the point where, like, I actually had to run away from the spot and then, you know, kind of have somebody come back down with me to help me get the rest of the stuff. Yeah. And then for the rest of the time that we were doing it, I was refusing to get back on the train because it just, that
was the one,
the shit out of me.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so, something down there doesn't like me, and if that's fine, I'm not going to mess with it.
I'm mad that you didn't join the team. That's the railroad team.
Now you're going to host an event
there.
You
were supposed to.
Tannen, you didn't take the job, man.
That's right.
I just won't go on the engine.
OPT has how many members? How many?
So right now, we just interviewed for an 11th member. So
because you're lacking staff? Why? Why are you looking for more people?
Because we need a balance. So a balance meaning...
That's an odd number, man, 11.
11,
what's
right?
A balance there, pal?
Lucky
five and a half here? Five and a half there?
Lucky number 11.
Okay, I'm just joking.
So there's a mixture of...
I scared Charmy, she ran away.
Fuck this shit, I'm out of here.
So
I don't have it on there, dude. It's the wrong mixer.
So there's sensitives, there's equipment techs, and then there's researchers. So I'm one of the research team. I'm the one that does all the research for properties.
My research means you get a client that calls you and says, hey, this is happening in this house. That's your job?
Yes.
The way it breaks down, you go research the situation before anybody
else. It all depends, too. Sometimes I've been sent on research gigs, too. We go to courthouses calls records and pull up property, you know, just history and all that good.
Okay.
We try to diversify our team. Like, you don't want to be a one-trick pony on this team because... Like,
what else is there to do? You'll research it. What's next?
Well, researching, that's a big endeavor.
You said Tannen is more the tech guy?
So Tannen does a lot of the tech, but he's helped with research as well.
Okay.
But his focus, like, we have a focus, but we can do other things because we try to help each other out.
Uh-huh.
And the research is involved in deed research. It's for
The history of the property.
So you
got
to go.
Stuff.
So you got to go to the courthouses. You got to go to the historical societies in any given town.
You go to the courthouse and tell them who you are, who you're with, and what you're doing.
Yes.
And what do they say?
They say okay.
It's public record.
They say they
understand that, but do you get a look from them? Like
they're just like
sometimes.
That's probably one of the first ones to do it. Don't it is?
I mean, you got the big
without. Fuck everyone else. But are there other paranormal teams around this area?
Yes.
A lot.
There's a few.
Do you consider them competition?
No.
Nothing like that?
It's a community.
Is it a community?
Yes.
What makes one team better than another? It's not that type of vibe? It's not
it
that.
Shouldn't be. But your
team does better research than this other team. You know what I mean? So your client would be better off using you than them. You know
you're
what
looking
I mean?
For the reality show. In it. Where's the reality TV show?
The boom mic. Every team's got a mission statement. Everyone or should just say that. Teams go for just the haunt. They just want to be scared. That's fine. They just go for the haunt. They're just scared.
For the thrill of it.
The thrill of it. Yeah. And some
adrenaline junkies.
Yeah, adrenaline junkies. Yeah. Some go for they want to become big and famous. They want to be on like some paranormal TV show, which is fine too.
Discovery Channel or something.
It's not our thing.
The BuzzFeed Unsolved. That show's great.
There's a lot of shows like that. I mean, which creates more skeptics too.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Right. Do you guys have a YouTube channel?
We don't have a YouTube
filming
channel.
Any of this?
So what we do is we are all private. All our private clients, we keep their.
Yeah, so the footage is private, right? Whatever you do in these houses is between it's confidentiality.
It's confidential.
You guys are an upstanding ghost.
Yeah, we're a bunch of Eagle Scouts.
Paranormal.
I mean, if you guys really wanted to embarrass somebody, you could, though. Huh?
Well, there's we do investigations at some businesses. If we were to tell,
look what I found in the drawer. It's a lightsaber.
It's a
lightsaber.
No, it's not. Oh, it's a dead hand.
big lightsaber.
There's some teams or there's some clients that we've investigated that are legitimate, upstanding businesses. And we don't want it. We don't want to.
Some legitimate upset.
Yeah, you don't want to blow it up with a Ghostbuster pack and have
names,
Slimer
of course, but I mean,
all over the
honestly,
chandelier.
Around here, there's. Like,
around here.
We know downtown Hagerstown is nothing but old buildings, one after another, man. So would you say that downtown Hagerstown is teeming with some mixed energy?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, right?
was,
I can imagine, man.
Gettysburg, of course, is a big job. I mean, Gettysburg. You got...
Ellicott.
Who?
Yeah, so Ellicott City. Since we're going to Ellicott City.
I get that. Ellicott City and Baltimore and all that, and Gettysburg, obviously, right? And we had the Antietam Battlefield.
Well, I think any historical town, really. Right. I mean, any...
I know.
It's going to be teeming.
I don't know all the history of Hagerstown, even though it's written on plaques here and there around the town.
Potentially happen anywhere. It could be in a new
house.
Absolutely.
It could be in, San Francisco, California. I know that.
That's an old town.
This is an older town. The East Coast is older than the West Coast. That's what I'm saying. And so
the people that are on these new properties, like these brand spanking new properties, I mean, the land's been around. Okay, land's been there.
I live on what used to be the Antietam Battlefield.
Right. Even if it's a house built in 2019.
Right.
The land's still been there, and plus people bring energy too. True. People that move into a place, they attract.
So let's talk about that. I mean, you guys must be familiar with the famous incidents in history and also in recent history. We all know you've seen the movie The Entity, right? You're all familiar with that and the real story behind it.
Yes.
Dorothy Bithers,
I'm not
Bithers
familiar
and all
with
that.
This.
I don't know.
No, you're not familiar.
I don't know.
Let me read you what the real story was on. Then Hollywood went and made another movie out of it. It got really out of hand, right? Dorothy Bithers lived in California, in Southern California, in Culver City, over by Universal and all that stuff, right? And in 1974, she's a mother of four, single mother of four. Living with her sons in a small house in Culver City, California, she began to suffer a series of physical attacks. And she claims they were perpetuated by a group of ghosts rather than what most would consider normal haunting, weird things happening around the house and such. Bither claimed that she was being raped by phantoms. And her sons to this day talk about what they were living with. This is in the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
And they were talking about the attacks against Bither were particularly brutal, and they went on for years. Bither was tossed around the room, slapped, raped almost nightly. Her sons recall seeing major scarring on her legs and thighs as if someone had grabbed her. Bither's older son, Brian Harris, claims to have witnessed many of the attacks. In an interview from 2009, he says that because his bedroom was next door to his mother's room, he would have to listen to the assaults as they happened, and in a few cases, he actually saw her being beaten by an invisible force. It was like a man was standing in front of my mother and would start to beat her. Imagine a woman being beaten. You could see her being picked up, thrown around, sounds of slaps, but there was no one there to actually do it. And we all felt it, too. Pulling, biting, and scratching, we were all attacked. And these kids talk about these ghosts, or whatever they were, walking around the house in front of them while they're watching TV and stuff like that.
And they just continued to live there, and she went in that bedroom.
No, she wound up.
Well, she's a single mother of four.
She probably couldn't afford to just
get up and go.
No, listen. No, there's a famous photo. This is early 1970s technology. They brought in a team from UCLA, like OPT, and they brought in with the technology that they could come in, and they set up in her room. And there's actually the famous photo of the light going across the room, but it's not bending with the wall or something, or it is bending with the wall. And it was captured on, I'm trying to find it here. But then Hollywood went and made a movie about it with Barbara Hirsch and all that. And you know, it's pretty brutal to watch. She's seriously getting, you know, she's getting done by a ghost.
Getting chucked around.
Yeah. She's getting in the shower, in the bed, and it's just weird shit going on.
Yeah.
But Dorothy Bithers wound up moving out of the house and moving to Texas, and the sons claimed that this thing went with them. And she's passed away now, but her sons still give interviews and whatnot. Weird shit, man. You know what I mean?
Right.
Have you guys had encounter anything like that? On that scale, I don't think so. No?
Well, anything that violent.
You just can't talk about it.
Without
saying names.
Yeah. Wow. We've had a private investigation like that.
It's crazy.
Can you give like a generic description of the escalation of
it was
situation?
It was in Hagerstown, I can give you the city. And it was a woman Hagerstown. This woman that called two of our co-founders, Steve and Stacy, and had mentioned that her son was getting punched in the stomach repeatedly. Like it was just that he was a kid that had basically every once in a while he'd be coming back to his mom and saying like, you know, hey, I'm getting punched in the stomach. and you would see markings on his stomach and his chest. And
now, did she actually see this happen? Like, she saw, like...
There were times she didn't believe it at first, but I interviewed her, and...
Because that could have been, like, him getting bullied and maybe...
Or he swallowed a Lego.
Swallowed a Lego.
Something like that.
Yeah, and I approached it, like I said, is there anyone that might be attacking him physically in person? Like, is there, like, a father in the picture? Like, the father's not around. And she had this group of, I think it was a son and a slightly older son. I'm like, did your brothers fight with each other? Like, did the kids punch and kick at each other? And she said, no, I actually saw him get slugged, almost like what you described of this California...
By an invisible force.
An invisible force. And one of our sensitives went into the house, and just similar to what Tyler had experienced, that first experience that I told you about, mm-hmm. she went upstairs, and she got choked out, and she had to run outside violently and throw up in the yard. Because it felt like something had grabbed her by the throat and just choked the heck out of her. And then she ran outside as quick as she could.
So through all of your investigations into this kind of... Obviously, you guys want to figure out the whys, correct. Right?
Now, and the who's.
Are you any closer to that? Like, why do these entities, like, what is it about? Is it a violent death?
Like, this particular...
Is it just a violent, led to a violent death?
This case you're talking about now, you did some research, obviously. You had to talk to Tyler and the mom and everyone involved in this. What did you guys come up with a conclusion?
So there was actually a couple... there was a couple of deaths that had occurred nearby. This was the basic research. We didn't have much time to research.
Right.
So that was one of the first investigations. I didn't get the full story on why those spirits lived. This was when I was developing my historical research.
Gotcha.
So this was like the second investigation I had going on. So I can't be proud to say that I had uncovered the answers, and sometimes we won't.
Right.
Because you can go in and you can... These are entities that are beyond our capacity to stop, much less cross over.
What are you going to do, right?
What are you going to do? Because we're physical living human beings, and so we're going to try to go in and help what we can, but the method to help people is to understand what is the draw, what is the cause that these spirits are being drawn to these people. If it's the people in question, that the clients, then you got to figure out what are they doing? Are they pulling? Are they doing rituals? Are they doing Ouija board? Are they Are they opening up something? And if it's not them, which we never want to blame the client, but we have to educate them.
Well, yeah, I mean, I feel like a lot of people have, in America at least, have played with a Ouija board with their kids.
I mean,
slumber parties. And
yes. Even a milder case of what we're just talking about,
you guys go and you guys investigate a place or a situation, have you come up with conclusions?
Yes. So actually one of the first investigations, this is when I said I wanted to step up my research game.
Uh-huh.
We researched a school.
Okay.
And this is a private client, so I can't list it, but this is up in PA.
Mm-hmm.
And we found that there was kids that would hug randomly this invisible person.
They would wrap their arms around something?
They'd wrap their arms and come up to them, and they'd say, like, oh, I want to give the tall man a hug. And
that's kind of pervy, man, but anyway.
Right? There's your friendly ghost.
He
was the janitor.
He was the
who used to work there, and all the kids loved him. Slipped
on the wet floor and
had a heroin
done
overdose
for.
In the bathroom. Jeez, smacked his head off the
that's
toilet.
That's his image.
Are
on
you
the...
a writer?
But,
so we found that we did the deed research like we usually do now. Like moving forward, we improved our methods.
Right.
And I went, this is when I was working actually at FBI. in Chester.
Okay.
And I had all the time in the world. I'd go to work at 4 p.m.
Wait,
work
the
until,
FBI?
Yeah, FBI, yeah.
Okay.
So 4 p.m. 4 p.m. to 12.
I did not. That's why we're interviewing.
Jordan does not play around.
Does not.
Does not.
I try to be as the less serious I am, the more fun the show is, I think. But I'm going to get serious on this one, though. This one.
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah, come on. Okay.
Whoa. Oh, God.
So it's the blue one.
Just so we're in the know. Yeah. So I went four times to northern and central PA to go to the Historical Society and the court offices. This was about a 2.5-3 hour drive for me.
Right.
From Winchester,
right.
Go up and get this information. So I found out that the deeds went back all the way to the 1700s. So went back pretty far. I gave all these records to the client, and we found that in the early 1900s to about the mid 1900s, two brothers owned this property, which at the time wasn't a school.
Okay.
So these were actually, these two brothers were two school teachers, okay, and they were supposedly, the records of like newspaper clippings and whatnot, they were hardcore disciplinarians. So we found out that these kids saw these tall men, these two brothers, that we found that lived and actually died on these properties. Because it shows the guarantee, like the grantor of the deed, they had an executor that passed the deed on to the next person. That means that usually someone dies while either on the property or nearby when they own the property. So we found out that these two brothers, that had been passed on from one of the brothers that died on the property. We found out his grave was a quarter of a mile away from that school. And the fact that his description, we found it on Ancestry.com. It was another cool resource.
Sure.
And we found out that his height was about 6'3".
So that's tall. Tall man.
Tall man. So tall man. And these two brothers, like, they were both school teachers. And they both resided around that area, and they both were buried in the same property about a quarter mile down the road. So
right.
We put two and two together, and we're like, okay, so these kids are getting, you know, sometimes, like, hugged, sometimes pushed around. It sounds like a disciplinarian, especially teachers back in the day. You know, teachers back in the day.
Yeah, the rulers.
Rulers on knuckles.
The whole bit, yeah.
So these teachers were really protective, and they said that the client said that things would fall off of desks, get pushed off of desks. They'd hear loud banging on walls, but kids would still come up and hug them. So it seemed plausible that these kids would be seeing some kind of authority figure, like a teacher.
Sure.
Disciplinarian to people that they don't trust, but good to the kids. So we found this out, and we reported the reveal when we were giving them the reveal. And the reveal recording had...
What's the reveal? What is the...
Reveal is revealing all the evidence that we found, okay. Video, audio, photos, history.
So you just set them down at the end.
Is it rule of
thumb
to lay all this out for the client,
just,
right?
Just lay this all out in somewhat of an organized fashion.
You guys have, like, PowerPoints and stuff? Like, how do you... Is this...
interactive
we
website.
We have a projector.
Oh, yeah, I've seen that at the tour last year.
Tour,
okay, yeah.
So we showed this, and Tyler picked up a recording, and he said, "Stop talking. Stop."
Oh.
And this was a recording, like, it was kind of pissed off.
Yeah.
And when we were doing the end of our investigation, this was before the reveal, we were cleansing the area, and we were moving back. Like, we always work our way out on the exterior parts of the property, and then we work our way to the exit, just so we're, like, covering
that
our bases.
Sense.
And so we were working our way back through the basement area, and all of a sudden we walk past this one room, and all of a sudden you hear, like, almost like someone... This just goes,
wow.
And we're like wondering what the heck made that noise. So I walk to the head of the people doing the saging and the cleansing. I walk up, open the door, and nothing. I look in and I see nothing had fallen against that door. There's no, like, nothing sitting at the bottom of where the doorway was. And I close. It's like, okay, you're angry. Sounds good. Close the door. Start backing up. We continue saging, and we get the heck out of there. But something was frustrated with us actually telling the information that these two brothers were on the property still. And so that was an example of one of our more conclusive.
And so do you, through your process of cleansing, did they have issues afterwards? Like, do you expel it, or does it just kind of soften the blow for them? Or
does
it
hang around more?
Or does it exacerbate the situation?
Cleansings gives the opportunity. This is why we do something in twofold. We approach the client. We have to both instruct them on how to maintain their property, as well as removing the spirit for a temporary period, because, yes, the spirit can come back. The idea is that cleansing, between, some people say they can cross spirits over. That's hard to believe. If a spirit wants to cross over to the other side, they can do so. But a cleansing, what that does is it just sort of pushes them out.
Peace treaty type of thing?
It pushes them out.
They go to the neighbor's house.
It pushes them, either it lowers their effect on the property, or it just kind of pushes them out a little bit, and they can come back. What we tell the client is that, you know, you say, this is your property. You can do certain things to alleviate any of that negative energy that comes back. And Kelly, the medium that's in our team, helps out with that. She does trainings for people all the time. And she says, open up windows, move furniture around.
Shake up the energy.
We basically put, believe it or not, it's going to sound weird, but olive oil on a white candle, light candles, certain little rituals, saging, of course, is the more common one.
What does it mean to sage?
So saging is like a white sage. It's like a stick, and you burn it.
It's literally like, you know, the spice sage. It's a dried bundle of it, and it's like
that's a native,
original form. It's a Native American
like
thing.
Native American. There's a couple of other cultures that do it too.
Yeah.
But we basically sage around the area. It's almost like a reset.
The idea is the ionization of you can cleanse with water or smoke, but the smoke is supposedly what changes it.
And it smells good. So we're doing a Glade plug-in in their property too. And it's like
potpourri.
Pretty sure you can get Glade plug-in things.
No.
Yeah.
I feel about this.
Yeah.
Oh, you never did get around to telling me where you find holy water.
You just walk into a church and ask for a
bottle of Aquafina and just bless this.
A Catholic priest bless your water.
Believe it or not, they actually do have a little fountain.
Yeah, they do. You can dip your fingers in before.
I shit you not. We walk into an Episcopal. It's Episcopal church. Like Episcopal, Catholic, and any of the ones that do the water blessings, like a Catholic priest. And it's all the power of belief in religion. Yeah. You could basically, a spirit could be non-religious or any kind of being, and it wouldn't affect them two ways. But the fact that, if it's something malevolent or demonic or any of those kinds, that's usually what you use that for. Otherwise, it's not going to do anything.
Interesting fact about the thing that's in one of those churches, though. This is off topic, but be wary of those, because they've been testing those. They're full of fecal matter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's fecal matter on
everything.
Holy
pus,
shit.
Holy water. Yep, exactly. Thank you.
Thank you, Charlie. Yes.
You're welcome.
Yes. To cut to the chase of the fecal matter.
That's the lesson of that out there.
So.
I mean, I have a million questions. We could sit here for the next 3 hours and beat this thing to death. Man.
Jay is intrigued.
I am intrigued.
He's been here like a schoolgirl.
I know. I love it.
He's had his hand up on his jaw like a schoolgirl the whole time.
I'm trying to hold myself up next
Chris,
to the microphone.
Chris, though, you seem intrigued as well, because you know.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, I think everybody's...
Yeah, it's an interesting topic.
I'm freaked out, you know, and it's intriguing at the same time, you know.
My parents always had stories.
Yeah.
Growing up, but I never really.
I mean, look,
either of you have a story? That's what I want to know.
I want to hear this. I want to know
if you guys have experienced anything that you feel like maybe could have been something.
I don't think I have. No. I don't believe I have. That's I haven't had like.
I just heard of things that happen in areas I've lived in, but I never experienced it myself.
But growing up around here in a Civil War home in a Civil War town,
yeah, he's from Sharpsburg.
You hear all these stories, you know. Like people just kind of people sit on the
Chris is fucked.
Sit on the porch of their rockers and tell stories.
Yeah, it was like every night, you know, like the neighborhood would kind of come together and sit out on the porch.
Boo Radley
and they'd tell stories like, oh,
Boo Radley's apple tree.
Like a, you know, I heard that like my china cupboard fell over. It sounded like, and I went back in the room and there was nothing there or nothing out of place.
Right,
stuff
right.
like that. You hear all that stuff, but I don't think I've ever actually experienced it.
Right.
There was one point in time where we could hear cannon booms going off at nighttime.
I heard of that from people.
Right? Yeah, like you could hear them. That's like you could hear like boom.
I've heard people boom, who live around you who heard like you know Civil War, Revolutionary War. There was a drummer playing the music, and they've heard that coming out of their basement and stuff like that. So I don't know, man. You know, I'm not a skeptic. Like I'm not denying anything, any of this stuff. You know, it's fun to listen to. I don't think I could go on these missions.
I
want to
see Jay on one of these missions.
You should come to the public event.
I'll be in the car.
I think we should do a Hub Show group outing to the tour.
I think that would like tampering with the whole thing.
Before
man.
I was
no, it's not. We're being. I think as long as you're respectful, right?
Let me ask you
this. The idea is your intention and the respect behind it.
Yeah, I would love to have you. We'll have you guys back on because there's plenty more to talk about. We should get tons of stories. But I mean, did you guys bring? Obviously, without saying who the clients are and all that
footage.
Could you provide audio stuff that's made you guys go?
Yeah, we've got audio on our first, like remember I said, we do personal investigations on our own just personal interests.
Do you have any with you now?
Yeah, on your phones?
No, not on this, no.
I'm saying, I used to listen to this, when I got done DJing and stuff, late at night out in the West Coast when I lived in California, I used to listen to the AM. Exactly. You ever heard of Coast to Coast AM?
Yeah,
that stuff's crazy, man. They got some of the stuff is boring, but then they start talking about the paranormal stuff, it's like... I started driving slower so I don't get home yet. You know, I want to hear the whole story, man. But I've heard some crazy crap. That's where I heard about the mausoleum, okay? The guy does what you guys Mussolini's mausoleum. They went in there, they left the recording device in it and left it, right? They went back a day later to retrieve it, and they played it back, and they played the audio on Coast to Coast. That's just crazy, man. You can hear kids laughing in the background, and it's like, The ghosts of these children were interested in what this device is, and they were coming closer to it.
Now, I will say that I have heard the recording that Tannen was talking about earlier. The little girl. He played
that
for me. Yeah, you could hear it. It was.
But you, Charming, this is interesting. Obviously, intriguing, but you're not freaked out.
I've seen weird stuff. No.
What have you seen, Charming? You asked for me and Chris.
One thing that stands out in my mind, a person that I knew there. Their mother was murdered in a very violent way in a house.
Yes,
and after her funeral, there was a lot of just activity. Like the TVs, the lights were just going on and off. And it was just, there was no real explanation for it.
I believe in that. This was we use the word energy, which I think is the right word to use. Right. See, people just say ghosts and hauntings and stuff like that. But I believe that, especially when there's a violent death in a certain area, the energy is left. The negative energy is left by that. You know what I mean? Is what sticks around.
Yeah. Right.
I believe that. You know what I mean?
So that's why all the ghosts are angry, because it's the negative energy that sticks around.
Well, is it?
No.
Is there a positive energy, too?
Who said all the ghosts are angry?
I don't know.
There's positive.
I don't think all the ghosts are angry.
What the hell is Casper based on?
So the positive energy. The positive energy we found basically one of the team members.
What's positive energy?
And the team member that, and you won't believe this because it's... it was a orphanage, and our orphanages are usually negative.
Well, yeah.
But we were next to an orphanage, and a bunch of little kids were playing with the flashlights. And what we do is we set up about four or five flashlights, different colors. And we say, we ask them the same questions that we did the Ghost Meter Pros. And these things would twist. So these flashlights would actually twist on. And we say, hey, if you want to talk to us, twist the red... or the black label flashlight.
and we would see these things, like, say, doing them both at the same time, and we would see these things.
Wait, back up. The orphanage, you're talking to live children, or what you believe are ghosts of children? What are you talking about?
Yeah. We play games with orphans.
Wait a minute. We're just going off on a tangent here.
No. You went to
an
abandoned orphanage, or an old, an orphanage.
The client was next to an old, it used to be an orphanage in Gettysburg.
I got you.
And so, yeah, sorry. I was going on.
No. I don't know if you brought the kids with you on a mission. Hey, when you see stuff, twist the light.
It's very good of you to do community work like that.
Show me on the doll. Where
was it? What's that foundation? Give a gift, like a charity foundation, like the one, like the final request by kids that are done.
Yeah. Oh, make a wish. Make a wish. Yeah,
it's like, come on, kid. I want to play with flashlights. I don't want to play with those.
I
want
to do a seance, man.
I want my own light show.
So I do understand that, like 100 years ago, in the late 1800s and early 1900s, seances were all the rage,
right,
in this country.
It was a parlor party.
It is a good topic, right?
Now, that's actually something I studied actually recently.
You studied it, and you concluded that most of it's bullshit.
Yes.
100%?
Most of it, no.
There were some people that were actually able to speak to the dead.
There was a society in the UK called the Society for Psychical Research.
Right.
There was actually, it's a bunch of skeptics. And...
He's a skeptic.
Tannen left.
You brought this up. Tannen's like, I'm out of here. I don't want to hear this.
Did you hear that?
Exactly.
He was like,
it was that door. And the society basically went on investigation just like we do.
Right.
But they did use such simple tools. Like they used, check to see if a door would move. They would use a piece of twine and tape it from one end to the other. And
talking about back in the day.
Back in the day, they'd use little off balls to see it.
Well, they don't have much technology.
They didn't have anything to work with.
The point was for entertainment, right? So
it was, but there were people who could actually do this stuff, and because of all the bullshit artists, it made the whole. It made it all look like shit.
What was the famous entity of the woman that, she would just show up at parties? Like, one lady claimed that she was possessed by. I just read about it not that long ago. Maybe it was in that book that I had.
What was it?
You
in
do
the
realize
States?
That laughter States helps us deal with our fear here.
It was in the United States, but it was when when those parlor seances were all the rage, and this woman just all of a sudden became possessed, and she just was acting very socialite, there was a name for her, though, and then...
Dionne Fortune? Does that sound familiar?
Yes, that does sound similar. I can't say 100%, but that sounds right.
So she was a psychic in the UK, actually, that this was one of the books I was reading on that I actually found in New Orleans. It was a pretty interesting... Protecting yourself from psychic attacks. There's some crazy stuff where you read these psychics, and there's a difference between psychics and mediums. Psychics are all mental,
mm-hmm.
whereas mediums, like the one on our team, is all afterlife, spiritual stuff. Psychic is like someone that basically picks up
visual imagery
or communications between people, or picks up ideas. And ideas from an object in the house or a property. You go on a property and they feel stuff. So that's the difference. And this woman, Dionne Fortune, was she wrote several, actually a bunch of books on protecting yourself. The idea of, and this was in the turn of the century, it's 1914 to 1940 when she finally passed.
This is the era we're talking about here, right?
Yeah, this is after the 1800s where there were a bunch of charlatans.
Exactly.
So she basically tried to bring the modern psychic and paranormal side to the forefront, and actually people, there's a big fall in her, and that's why she writes.
The police would turn into her for stuff and all kinds of things, right?
Yeah, yeah. Stuff of that nature. That's crazy.
There's so many stories, and no.
Yeah.
Let me ask you, you started out on this Harper's Ferry adventure 3 years ago, and since then you've done this research and learned a lot more.
before that, were you up to speed on all this stuff, or was it all new to you when you went?
This was all new to me. Like I said, I was in I did analysis. So I was a research analyst for the FBI and all these places. So I did regular human living research. I did this guy committed a crime. Well, let's figure out what records we got on him. This is an entirely different spectrum.
Yeah.
It's going into another.
It's not in front of you. Yeah.
It's not. You know, the same. It's not the same concept. So.
Oh, the ghost is back. I know, right? Oh, do it again. There you go.
Ridiculous.
So that's. It was kind of a weird transition, but eventually, kind of came into it.
I mean, I have met. There are two women that I've met that are like. I mean, they, in my mind, are legit as far as being psychic. One of the women has helped the police with cold case files. Right. Like,
yeah. That's an example
and
of what Kelly.
It's fascinating to watch them in the process because, from what I understand, the communications are conveyed in ways that relate to them personally. So, like, they could have had an experience that makes them think of, you know, peanut butter, peanut gel. They'll get a visual of peanut gel and they'll be like, oh, okay, there's a broken leg because when I broke my leg, I slipped on peanut gel. You know, like, it's that type of association.
It's odd because I can't get a visual on peanut gel at all.
I can't either. I'm trying. It's just.
I can't get a visual on slipping on peanut butter, but hey,
it's good job there, Charming. I'm trying to tie it all together.
I got you.
But yeah, so jelly, I thought maybe. That was pretty cool because, and that makes sense because everybody is different and like associations are all going to be different. And so that kind of, seeing that and that process kind of made me think and believe it a little bit more. I was just like, oh, okay, like, yeah. And I mean, they've told me things about my life and things that happened to me that there's just no way
no
that
way
anybody
it,
could
right.
have ever
could
known
have researched
that.
It online,
yeah, there's
Facebook,
just no way.
Are you, Jordan, are you skeptical at all anymore? I mean, you hear things, see things, you go, eh.
The title is you want to be a healthy skeptic.
I gotcha.
So healthy skeptics are people that don't have such a deep-seated, either in science or religion, and they're so grounded in that they won't accept new information.
They won't budge, right.
Because...
And being able to
otherwise,
know the difference between a client who's a meth addict and one that's...
right.
That's
you again.
Primary example.
You again.
But otherwise, there's no...
That guy. Get the hook.
There's no point in investigating if you're too far on the spectrum. Like, why would you be investigating if you're never going to believe or if you're automatically
going to believe? There's a term that I actually learned. It's called a debunker. And a debunker is someone that has just a deep-seated... Like, they were brought up in a religion or they're brought up, like, certain science, like, people that have been, like, PhDs, and they've gotten 24 PhDs.
It's this way, and that's it.
They're always looking for the sleight of hand and everything.
And it's okay to be skeptical of certain things, but they have to go about the normal steps and processes to find out whether it's bunk or not. Like, they can't just say, like, right out the door, like, yeah, no, it's bunk. Like, you have to go through the methodology. You gotta go through the scientific process before you make a determination. Because new information, you know, scientific theories back in the day have changed.
They don't hold up anymore.
Yeah.
Right?
Well,
it's evolved.
Because it's called empirical research.
Now they have to have it from different sources, have to come up with the same
conclusion
for anything to be considered true.
So, like, everyone sees things like they'll see or hear. Touch or smell something, like these are all empirical. Like when you're on an investigation, empirical evidence is picking stuff up as you go. Like they're just senses. So you can't prove like to someone that like, oh, I saw someone. I don't believe you. Like, you know, you saw something. Your proof? That's empirical. If there's enough instances of that same empirical evidence, like you saw the same person in a white, like this woman in a white dress on this property saying the same thing like 5 or 6 or 7 times, that might, you have to have
something
more
there.
Instances. You got to have more instances of things. That's why, like, when I'm skeptical of something, I'm like, well, how many times have you seen this? How many times has it happened in the past year? Did it happen during a certain time? Did it happen every time at this time? And that's how you should approach.
You ever have a client or a prospective client that just
And even in your eyes and mine, they're just batshit crazy.
Yes.
Okay. Let's make sure. You
know, but we
just grab every case.
But we set them down, and this is a very
politely.
Very politely, in very few instances.
I gotcha.
There wasn't like most of the investigations that we've gone on has been legitimate.
Yeah, because you'd be embarrassed to call someone and say, hey, I got this thing happening in my house. You know, you wouldn't want to
right,
be.
I'm sure that the last resort, unless they're looking for that kind of attention.
Who calls at that point, you know? It's
do you guys leave a business card behind? Do you guys tell people where to?
Yeah.
It's a legit like that.
Yeah.
I mean, all right. Cool. I mean, you
guys
advertise?
I love
this stuff, man. This is great, you know? So, you know. But, I mean, again, we can talk all night, and there's plenty more stuff to pick your brains about with this stuff. But I would like to get some audio sample that we can play for our audience. Is that possible?
Now that you prepared us, like I said, we can definitely bring some stuff.
What could you guys send me?
I feel like that's probably my fault.
Like a recording of anything?
I don't know. I mean, there's plenty to talk about.
It's all good. Like I said, if we were to come back, like, we could prepare some
stuff. If we end this show, and we say we're signing off, but listen to this, can you guys provide us with something?
Yeah.
Even like 10 seconds worth of something.
10 second blip or whatever.
Unquestionably, you know what I mean?
We got a scream from the Hagerstown Park, that train station. Huh. There was no one there, not a person in the entire park except us.
Yeah.
And
give us your best stuff.
Give us your best stuff.
Yeah, your best stuff.
And it was right. It sounded like it was right next to the
reporter. Oh, yeah. It is like a blood curdling.
Was that when I was there?
No, it happened.
Wasn't there?
That was when you stubbed your toe.
Oh, no, you let me listen to it.
I stubbed my toe.
That's what
on
it
the
was.
Train
yeah.
track.
Yeah, but I think it was like the same day, so I'm like fusing it together.
Like,
yeah.
Earlier it happened that day.
Yeah. That's right.
And I pulled up the.
Yeah, that was crazy.
Yep.
That's nuts. Anyway, well, we are going to wrap it up. But
and you're going to hear.
Awesome. I want to hear more, but
you're going to hear this clip.
As we sign off, I'm going to say goodbye and all that good stuff. The Hub Show, and this has been the Oculus Paranormal Team, Tannen Smith and Jordan Jones. And in this area, Hagerstown or the western side of Maryland, and however far they want to reach you guys, where can they? You want to tell them how they can reach you?
We got a Facebook page.
Is there a Facebook page?
We've got a Facebook page, a website, and we also have a live number that we can be reached on.
What's your Facebook page?
There's a
paranormal hotline.
There's a hotline.
711.
7-8-6-7-5-3-0-9. No, that's not it.
Should lock it down.
I should lock it down, yeah. So we have the paranormal team's website that has all this information. You can email us. Of course, we can also be reached by the website as well.
What is the web address?
The web address is oculusparanormalteam.org.
The whole thing, .org.
It's a .org. That means it's legit.
It's legit.
You're a non-profit?
We are not a
503C type of thing?
We are actually not registered as any legal designation. We're just a hobby team.
You just grab the .org and put it on there.
You just grab that.
I understand. If you put .com, people think you're just running a business and the money thing like you talked about in the beginning. I get it.
Give it that wholesome
perception
to it.
No, there's a perception to it, right. I understand.
No, there definitely
is. I get it. All right. What do you got?
So we're at 301-960-4000 profile.
MySpace.
301-960-5165, and that will route to several of our numbers. It's actually a web number that routes to our personal numbers.
If someone does call you from farther away,
is it whoever
than this,
answers first or what?
Yeah, that's usually how it is.
I'm saying, though, if someone actually calls you, though, like you said, you've been all the way to New Orleans.
Yes.
On an investigation?
No, that was his
research. That was a personal
That was a personal vacation.
But someone listens to, say, a couple states away in Illinois, and they want to.
In, like, Novosibirsk, Russia or something?
No. But would you do it?
Would you go to Illinois?
Would you go to Ohio? Would you go over there? To Indiana?
We would if we had enough planning involved, yes.
I gotcha.
So our main areas of operation are. So we have. The Battlefield Bash, the Gettysburg Battlefield Bash, is where we meet up with a lot of paranormal teams. So they're from all over. They're from California.
It's a big party or what, man?
It's a big
Pretty
party.
Much.
When's that?
We gotta be there.
We gotta be there. The Hub Show should be there for that.
There.
Yeah, I mean, you
Battlefield Bash
get
in Gettysburg?
Get a table. Yeah.
When is this at?
This is, actually, the next one's already been scheduled, if you can look that up.
Of course.
So that's usually July or August time.
So we missed it.
Yeah.
You already just had it.
This one actually just had it.
2020, pulling this shit out. Yeah, Comic Cons, Battlefield Bashes, you know.
Hub Show Tour,
roller derbies, wrestling matches,
anything and everything.
Yeah, well, they'd love to hear you guys on, because, like I said, you guys talk about all subjects. So you got people that are like UFOologists. You got people.
That's another whole other
topic. I
want to
do a show on that as well.
Charmy's an alien. Anyway,
Bob Lazar is telling the truth.
Could be.
Nanu.
Bob Lazar, I believe him. I don't have a reason Bob Lazar. To not believe him.
Anyway. Keep believing there, Charmy. We're going to close the show out with some audio from the Oculus Paranormal Team. You guys are going to give us some good shit, right?
Yes.
All right. So if you don't believe, you will now. Right?
Also, just really quick, the next Gettysburg Battlefield Bash is going to be from July 24th to July 26th.
2020. Okay.
Yeah, so you guys got a year to sponsor.
So it's a two-day event, three-day event?
Three-day event.
Like people go out there and camp out. It's a whole big, it's like Woodstock.
I stay at the hotel where it's raining.
I got you. It's air conditioning, I guess. I don't blame you.
Yeah, it's a little cozy.
It's July, right? It's a lot out there.
But, you know, people go out to, like, haunts, like the Jenny Wade House.
What better place than Gettysburg, right?
Makes s'mores.
Yeah, right.
Sweaty ghosts.
Sweaty ghosts.
That man's been there 2 years in a row now.
Yeah.
Isn't that place kind of like, what's the word? Is it oversaturated?
Yes.
I mean, Gettysburg?
That's why you meet there, right? All the ghosts have been whored out.
But it's a connection.
Seriously.
Whored out.
I know her.
Well, I'm tired, man.
I know her.
Yeah.
Puppetry.
Bastard, he comes in the pub every day. Yeah.
Knocks my drink over.
He's always hacking and coughing. He won't shut up.
I keep getting hit with darts and no one's there. Yeah. Right. Shit.
Don't quit.
Anyway. That'd be cool, huh? Walking into like a paranormal barroom brawl and just glasses flying around. Holy shit.
Who shot first?
Before guys.
Yeah.
Anyway. All right, Hub Show. Let's do it. Play some audio. We're out of here. Jay Heiss, Chris Canfield, Charmer Gossett, Tannen Smith, Jordan Jones. We're out of here. The Oculus Paranormal Team.
Awesome.
Let's get out of here. Let's go hear some creepy shit. Yeah.
Did you want to touch the back of my hand?
Oh, it just scrambled away. It just, as soon as you walked over, it just scrambled off towards the bathroom.
Where'd everybody go?
Outside.
Oh, okay.
Go look at the hole. Awfully hot. So,
I'm going to try and set this up.
You've been listening to The Hub Show with your hosts, Charmin Grissett, Chris Canfield, and Jay Heiss.